Our first reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading from the 9th chapter of Luke's Gospel and reading from verses 51 through 56. I'll be reading from the Revised Standard Version. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. When the days drew near for him to be received up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him, who went and entered a village of the Samaritans, to make ready for him. But the people would not receive him, because his face was set towards Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to bid fire come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. Word of the Lord. Our second reading for this morning will come from Paul's letter to the Galatians. We'll be reading from chapter 5 of that book. And we will read from verse 1 through verse 26. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Now I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is bound to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is of any avail, but faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who called you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view than mine, and he who is troubling you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. But if I, brethren, still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? In that case, the stumbling block of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would mutilate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love be servants of one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are plain: immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissension, party spirit, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us have no self-conceit, no provoking of one another, no envy of one another." This is the word of the Lord. Now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable and pleasing to you. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Next Sunday, as you are aware, we'll be celebrating the 4th of July, commemorating 234 years of our nation's independence and freedom from British rule. Freedom is a word that still has a great deal of power and resonance in our society, as it does around the world. Indeed, the history of our nation can be characterized as the continued unfolding of freedom to include more and more people in the blessings of liberty. Whenever we think of freedom, we often think of the epic struggles of our nation's history. We think of the struggle of freedom for workers to be able to form unions and to engage in collective bargaining. We think of the freedom of women to be able to participate as equals in our society. We think of the civil rights marches of the 60s that helped to guarantee freedom for African Americans and for other minorities. So freedom is something that's very important. It has a great deal of resonance in our society. Indeed, we can justify just about anything by appealing to freedom. We, as Americans, attach a great deal of importance and weight to freedom. In our text for this morning, the Apostle Paul is also concerned about freedom. But the freedom that he's talking about is not a freedom that's won on battlefields or through legislative victories. It's not a freedom that is earned or merited. It's not a freedom that we pay for. Rather, the freedom that Paul is talking about is the freedom that comes to us as pure gift in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the freedom that we have to be the church, to be the beloved community that God has called us to be for the sake of the world. Paul says that for freedom's sake, Christ has set us free. But Paul wants us to understand that the freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ is not the freedom of self-indulgence. It's not the freedom for us to do whatever we want to do, to live our lives in whatever way we want to live them. I heard the other day on the radio a young man calling into a radio station. I forget what the issue was, but he asserted that he had the right to live his life the way he wanted to live it. That's the way we understand freedom. No one gets to tell me what to do. I have a right to live my life the way that I want to live it. That's the understanding of freedom that often prevails in our society today. But that understanding of freedom is dangerous to community. The people in Paul's day understood that. We don't know exactly what the issue was that Paul was contending against in Galatia, but apparently some missionaries came to the church that Paul had founded there and was concerned about the freedom that the Galatians were experiencing. There have always been those who are uncomfortable with freedom because they recognize that freedom can be a bit dangerous to the community. You can't have people doing everything that they want to do. And so the missionaries who came to Galatia was concerned about the freedom that was being expressed there in the Galatian community. And they wanted to assert good old-fashioned rules and regulations to make sure that the freedom didn't get out of control, as it did in Paul's other church, one of Paul's other churches in Corinthians, where people experienced freedom, but it kind of got out of control, and Paul had to sort of rein it back in. Well, here these missionaries are trying to rein the freedom in that they find in Galatia. But Paul reminds them that our Christian walk is not about rules and regulations, but it is indeed about freedom. And so Paul is concerned about freedom in our text this morning. He's concerned about the freedom that the Galatian community is experiencing. And the kind of freedom that Paul is talking about here is not the freedom of self-indulgence. It's not the freedom to do anything that we want to do, but rather it's the freedom for a particular purpose. It is the freedom that we have to love and to serve God, and the freedom to love and to care for our fellow human beings. This freedom is necessary because without this kind of freedom, the freedom of love and the freedom to serve our fellow human beings, we remain in bondage to the impulses and the desires of the flesh. Freedom is necessary, you see, because Paul says that there are only two ways that we can live our lives. One is that we can live our lives according to the flesh. Now, whenever we hear the word flesh, we tend to think of the body. And whenever we think of the body, we tend to think of sex. We have a long history of associating sin with sex in our society. Sex is the church's favorite sin. We talk more about sex than we do about anything else, more than we do about money, more than we do about violence. Sex is the church's favorite sin. It goes all the way back to Augustine in the 5th century. We're preoccupied with sex. We want to know all the prurient details and failings of our political leaders and other people in positions of authority. We want to know about sex. But when Paul talks about the flesh, he's not simply talking about the body. And he's not simply talking about sex. It encompasses those things, but it's deeper and broader than that. When Paul talks about the flesh, he's talking about the tendency that we have as human beings to place ourselves at the center of existence. He's talking about the tendency that we have to be indifferent, not only to the will of God, but to be indifferent to the needs and concerns of our neighbors. He's talking about all the ways that we devour one another and use one another for our own selfish ends. That's what Paul means by the flesh. It's all the ways that we set ourselves up in opposition to God, and all the ways that we show contempt and hatred and indifference to our fellow human beings. For Paul, the flesh is a way of spiritual bondage. It's an orientation that we learn before we're even conscious of it. It captures our hearts and our minds and our imaginations so that we can't even begin to imagine a different kind of world. In the flesh, we learn not to love our enemies as Jesus commanded, but we learn to hate our enemies, and we learn to destroy our enemies, as James and John wanted to do in our gospel reading this morning. They're coming through the region of Samaria, and the Samarians reject them, and so they go to Jesus. Lord, do you want us to send fire down from heaven? Let's deal with these people in the way that we're used to dealing with enemies. Let's send down fire. Let's destroy them. And Jesus rebukes them. That's the flesh. The flesh teaches us to hate our enemies. The flesh teaches us to use violence. The flesh teaches us to be indifferent to the pain and suffering of others. It is in the flesh where we learn to believe in violence. It is where we learn to put our trust not in God, but it's where we learn to put our trust in tanks and bombs and missiles. It's in the flesh where we learn that people who are different from us are really not like us. It's in the flesh that we learn that people who are different from us are somehow people to be shunned, people who are not to be invited into our community. That's the way we live. That's the what we are subject to. It's the flesh that often has control of our hearts and of our minds. But the good news is, as Paul reminds us, is that the flesh is not our destiny. For freedom, Christ has set us free. That's what the Apostle Paul reminds us. We no longer have to be dominated by our selfishness. We no longer have to be dominated by indifference and contempt for other people. We no longer have to be dominated by anger and by violence and by strife. We no longer have to devour other people. We no longer have to be conceited. We no longer have to be envious and jealous of other people. All of that is the way of the flesh. Paul reminds us that we are now free, free to love God and free to love our fellow human beings as we love ourselves. That's what Paul means when he talks about walking in the Spirit. The Spirit is the process whereby the power of the Holy Spirit opens up space within our being so that we can begin to experience and imagine a whole new reality, a reality where we come to know that we are deeply loved and cared for by a gracious and loving God, a reality where we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to express our freedom and faith in acts of self-giving love and service to others. To be led by the Spirit is to have cultivated within us the fruits of the Spirit, the fruits of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness generosity and gentleness, all the fruits that characterize our freedom away from the flesh. Unfortunately, that's not the way the Christian community is often perceived. I was watching one of those Christian broadcasting television shows not long ago, and some of the people there certainly seemed to be led by the Spirit, but it wasn't necessarily the Holy Spirit. It wasn't the spirit of gentleness. It wasn't the spirit of kindness. It wasn't the spirit of patience. Oftentimes, we in the Christian community are led by a different kind of spirit. We're led by the spirit of strife. We're led by the spirit of quarrelsomeness. We're led by the spirit of anger. We're led by a spirit of violence. We're led by the flesh. But Paul reminds us that there is another way for us to live. Paul reminds us that there is the way of the Spirit, the way of freedom. We don't have to be led by the flesh anymore. We don't have to be led by our impulses anymore. We don't have to be led by our desires and by our the way that we neglect other people. We don't have to be led by any of that anymore. Our lives have been made free in Jesus Christ, made free by the power of the Holy Spirit, made free to reach out to other people, made free to love God with all of our hearts and all of our minds and all of our souls, and to love the neighbor that God has called us to love. Paul tells us something quite stunning. Paul tells us that the purpose of the freedom that we have in Christ is to be slaves to one another. Many of us don't like that word slaves. Many of us don't like the word servant. Many of us don't even want it to be suggested that we are called to serve one another. What kind of freedom is that? What kind of freedom is it that we're called to serve other people? What kind of freedom is it that we're called to be subject, that we're called to be slaves to other people? I don't want to be subject to other people. I don't want to be a slave to other people. I want to be free. I want to be able to do what I want to be able to do. I want to be able to live my life the way I want to be able to live it. I want to be the one calling the shots. I don't want to be a servant to anybody else. I don't want to serve anybody else. It's the way of the flesh. But Paul reminds us that to really be free, if you really want to be free, then we have to give up our notions of what we think is freedom, because what we often think is freedom is not freedom at all. It's slavery. We're simply being ruled by our passions, by our sinful desires, by our desires to dominate and control other people. That's not freedom at all. It's slavery. But Paul reminds us that we are called to walk in a different kind of way. We are called to walk in the way of love. We are called to walk in the way of the Spirit. We are called to walk in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus came into our midst so that we might have life, so that we might have genuine freedom, so that we might know how we are supposed to live our lives. Jesus came into our midst to show us what real freedom looks like. Jesus came into this world of flesh. He came into a world where people were angry at one another. He came into a world of division and strife and war and conflict. But Jesus said no to war and conflict. Jesus said no to strife. Jesus said no to division. Jesus said no to anger. Jesus said no to the flesh. Jesus showed us a different way to live. Jesus said, if you want to have freedom, if you want to really have life, and you want to have that life in abundance, I'm going to show you how to live that life. I'm going to show you what kindness looks like. I'm going to show you what gentleness looks like. I'm going to show you what patience looks like. I'm going to show you what it means to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to show you what it means to have genuine freedom. Of course, we decided that we didn't want the kind of freedom that Jesus had to offer. We didn't want the kind of freedom that Jesus came to bring us. We preferred the kind of freedom that we want. We preferred the freedom where we had totally control of our own lives. We didn't want anybody telling us what to do. We wanted the freedom the way the world offers freedom. But that freedom leads to destruction. Jesus came into our midst to show us what genuine freedom looks like. We live in a world, of course, that is in many ways diametrically opposed to the vision of this text. We live in a world that is diametrically opposed to the vision of genuine freedom. We live in a world that is diametrically opposed to the way of love. We don't want to hear that. We don't have time for that. What are you talking about, love? What are you talking about, serving other people? That's not the way we want to live. That's not the way you're going to make it in the world. That's not the way you're going to make it up the ladder. That's not the way you're going to make it to the top office. That's not the way you're going to be independent and in control. We don't want to hear about that love. We don't want to hear about that service. That's not the way you're going to be somebody in the world. Follow our way. Follow the way of the world. Follow our way to freedom. But Jesus offers us genuine freedom. He offers us the freedom that brings new and genuine life. We have been endowed with that freedom here at Only Presbyterian Church. It is the freedom that we show to those who come to this place every day. It is the freedom that we show to the children who come into our midst. It is the freedom that we show to the people who come to avail themselves of our care closet. It's the freedom that we show to people who just come to look for a smiling face, a friendly face. We show them the freedom that is characterized by God's self-giving love. None of us exist for ourselves. We don't exist for ourselves. We exist for God. We've been created by God, created to serve God, and created to serve the neighbor that we have been asked to serve. We don't exist for ourselves, but we are called to give ourselves away, just as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gave himself away so that we might have life and have it in abundance. We are called to bring life to others. We are called to bring life to people in this community. We are called to give life to people who are struggling. We are called to give life to people who believe that no one cares about them, that no one loves them. We are cared to give life to those who've been marginalized by the forces and the powers of the world. That is why we exist. That is why we are here on this corner. That is why we will remain here on this corner. That is why we remain open to the power of God's Spirit in our midst, because we realize that we have a mission to bring life to the people in this community and to show the people in this community what genuine freedom looks like. As God's people, and as God's church, let us go forward in the way of freedom. Let us go forward in the way of genuine liberty. Let us go forward free of the forces and powers of the flesh, the forces and powers of death that often has control over a good part of our lives. Let us declare our freedom, the freedom to walk in the Spirit, the freedom to cultivate the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit, the freedom to be the kind of people that God has called us to be, to be that beloved community who proclaims who we are and bears witness to who we are, not simply by what we say, but by how we love one another and by how we love the people that God has called us to serve. It's the greatest commandment that Paul gives us, the greatest commandment that Jesus gives us, that we should love the Lord our God with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our strength, and to love the neighbor that we have been called to serve. Let us take that love out into the world. Let us live it. Let us proclaim it. Let us bear witness to it in everything that we do. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Eternal God, you have called us into a life of freedom, a life where we bear witness to who you are by walking in the Spirit. We ask, Lord, that you help us to bear that witness to those in this community. Help us continue to reach out to this community, and help us to continue to be the loving and sharing people that you have called us to be. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.